Good morning. The meeting is being recorded. It is 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday, May 23rd. Dr. King, after you've called the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of the board members and staff.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today is May 23rd, 2023, and we will start the regular Arizona PT board session meeting.
Doing a roll this morning, Dr. King.
Present.
Dr. Vecchio?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton? Please let the record reflect that Mr. Barton is absent. And then board staff, Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And I'm Judy Chepiot. Dr. King, the meeting is yours.
Great, thank you so much. The first item on our agenda is minutes to review consideration for action for regular session, April 25th, 2023.
One correction, I had adjourned and left the meeting, the last meeting, and so therefore I did not place a vote in the very end for adjournment. We could make that edit. I don't know if that matters, but.
Yes, I will correct that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, John.
Yep. Sorry I had to leave, but it was a celebration.
It was.
Any other corrections or questions? Do you have a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
Great. So call the vote, please.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the regular session meeting minutes from April 25th, 2023, noting the amendment as according to Dr. Hike. Dr. King.
Abstain.
Dr. Vecchio.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton is absent. And the motion passes.
Perfect. Okay. So we will move on to agenda item number 4. Let the recording show that there's no items for A, B. We're at C1, review consideration possible action for PT applicant who graduated from a foreign educated program. C1A is Niels Christian Zarazoga Barrera. Do you want to give us a summary of his application,
Veronica? Yes. Mr. Zaragoza Barrera is CAPTI accredited. He is foreign educated. He has not taken either exam, but he is substantially equivalent in his education.
Okay. So will he need supervised clinical practice after he takes the exams?
He will.
Okay. All right. Any questions, or is he on the call? Is he on the call in case we have questions?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I make a motion to move to approve the application for Mr. Zarazoga Barrera pending taking and passing the licensure exams and completing supervised practice.
Second.
Do you have to state that it's for 6 months or however many hours, 500 hours?
It wouldn't hurt.
Okay. Supervised clinical practice for 500 hours.
Still second.
Great. Any questions or discussion? Okay, Judy, you want to call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to approve the application of Mr. Zaragoza Barrera after completing the application process, passing all required exams, and completing the supervised clinical practice period for a minimum of 500 hours. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Vecchio?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great, thank you. I'll let the recording show that there are no items for the rest of agenda item four. So that moves us into agenda five, consent agenda. Board members, are there any particular specific cases that you'd like to call out before to discuss further? Okay. Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
Move that we approve the items on the consent agenda.
Second.
Great. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, then Judy, please call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda, which encompasses items listed in 5A and 5C. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So for anyone who's on the call whose names were on the consent agenda, the board staff will get with you with your next steps. All right, agenda item six, we have nothing. Seven, informal hearings, none. Eight, rehearing reviews, none. So we're at agenda number nine. I do want to make a note that for agenda item 9B, the complainant has asked to be on the call to she'd like to make a statement. So she's not available until 9:15. So I'm going to rearrange the agenda a little bit to give her the opportunity to speak to the board. So we're going to go a little bit out of order. But we'll start with 9A, if that's okay. Case 2120, Alejandro Iniguez, PTA.
Okay for me, Dr. King, to provide that briefing at this time?
Yes, please. And this is just review, consideration, and possible action regarding the complaint.
Correct. Mm-hmm. On July 27th of 2021, complaint 2120 was opened against Mr. Iniguez. He's a physical therapist assistant. The complaint was opened after the board received information indicating that Mr. Iniguez was arrested for engaging in an inappropriate sexual relationship with a 16-year-old female patient. At its meeting on September 28th of 2021, the board reviewed the complaint and entered into an interim consent agreement with Mr. Iniguez. And pursuant to that ICA, Mr. Iniguez was prohibited from practicing as a physical therapist assistant under certificate number 9372 until his criminal matter was resolved. Over the course of 2022, numerous inquiries were made to Mr. Iniguez's attorney, Mr. Solon, related to the status of the criminal case against Mr. Iniguez. Mr. Solon confirmed that Mr. Iniguez was not practicing as a physical therapist assistant and that formal charges had not been issued. Mr. Iniguez did not renew his certificate for the 2022-2024 cycle. By operation of law, ARS 32-3202, his certificate is deemed suspended until the investigation is resolved. A recent review of publicly available court records appears to indicate that Mr. Iniguez pled not guilty at his arraignment on April 25th of 2023, and his next hearing was scheduled for May 15th of 2023. The board has not received any response to its attempts to get an update from Mr. Iniguez, nor his attorney, nor has he provided the board with any updates. This matter is being brought before you for the purpose of determining what, if any, action to take in this matter since it's been almost 2 years since the complaint was opened. This matter is for your review.
Thank you. Is Mr. Iniguez or his counsel on the call? Do we know?
I don't believe either responded to the invitation.
Okay, thank you. All right. So what I'm hearing you say, Mindy, is that this case has been open for a while. There's been very little movement. There's been very little contact to your requests to update the board. He had a consent agreement not to practice. From what I'm understanding, did he renew his certificate in 2022?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, members of the board, mm-hmm. One option that I think is available to you is just to remand this matter to formal hearing. If he, you know, responds, then we can probably engage in a conversation with him to see if he'd be willing to consensually resolve the matter. But if he doesn't, like he hasn't over the last 18 months, at some point the board is going to need to take dispositive action, and you would have all of your remedies available to you after the administrative hearing.
Okay. Are there any thoughts or discussion from the board on potentially moving this to a formal hearing to have the opportunity to speak with him?
Well, that was going to be a question that I had. With his license not being renewed, was there anything that we could do at this point? Because there's nothing for us to, you know, suspend further or take away. I didn't know if we had to wait until he potentially renewed again to do that, or if we can just go that route now. But it sounds like we can go that route now, according to Mr. Harris.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry to interrupt. That is correct. What happens, there's a law that applies to all health boards that basically says if you choose not to renew your license or certificate while you are the subject of a pending board complaint, rather than your license or certificate expiring, it goes on suspended status until the complaint has been resolved. In essence, giving, you know, the health boards the ability to retain jurisdiction so that an individual cannot avoid the consequences of perhaps bad conduct by simply letting their license expire or certificate expire.
Got it.
Great. Very helpful. Thank you. And he was noticed for the meeting today, I'm assuming.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I'm comfortable making a motion to move this complaint 2120 to a formal hearing.
Second.
Is there any discussion or concerns? Okay, hearing none. Judy, would you mind calling the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to remand case 2120 for Alejandro Aniguez to formal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Thank you. That motion passes.
Thank you. I think we'll move to agenda item 9C, review consideration and possible action regarding opening complaint for CS.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Madam Chair, members of the board. In the previous case, I'm not clear, and Mindy may be able to shed some light, but one of the possible violations I would ask the board consider moving to formal hearing is a violation of 32-2044-18, which is basically interfering with an investigation or disciplinary proceeding by failing to cooperate, so on and so forth. And I think that would be reasonable and relevant to the conduct in this particular case. I apologize for not mentioning that earlier.
And that's okay. Mr. Harris, will we need to make a motion then to add the additional allegations to complaint number 2120?
Please. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. I'll make a motion, and then we can discuss if anyone would like to. I move that we add an additional allegation to case 2120. Capturing 32-2044-18.
Second.
I appreciate that. Except for me, I think that it, you know, hopefully will give him insight into why now the board's taking action. You know what I mean? And what we really expect is the cooperation piece that we haven't had. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him when this comes before the board again.
In terms of discussion, then, for this case, I understand we tried to contact him, but I don't see, maybe I missed that in reviewing the records of how many times. I know that's probably done through email and registered mail and those kind of things, but I know it's for 2 years. Has it been like 5 times that we tried to contact him? How do we consider that?
Mindy, can you speak to that, please?
I did my normal process of notifying him. And then, Mr. Harris, because he was represented by counsel, Mr. Harris, I know at least twice, in the previous year. And then more recently, he was noticed that this would be coming before the board.
Yeah.
So I don't have an exact number.
So he's had enough times.
Yes, I believe
all
so.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Good and question. Through the formal hearing process, he'll be notified again that this is what we're doing. So he'll have an opportunity to address the board at the formal hearing as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Okay. Hearing none, then we have a motion and a second. So Judy, do you mind calling the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to add an additional potential violation of ARS 32-2044-18 to case 2120 to be heard at the formal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
And Mindy, if I could ask, just as this comes back before us again for this particular allegation, having, I think, the dates and the attempts to contact him would be really, really helpful for us to know the efforts that were made and if we heard back from him or if he responded in any way.
I'll summarize that for you.
Thank you. Great. Okay, are we okay to move to agenda item 9C?
I have no further interruptions.
Thank you. Okay, for CS, and I had asked.
The next, I think we might be able before 9:15 to be able to get these next three. So 9C, 9D, and 9E done. Those are all preliminary reviews.
Okay.
So just as a reminder, in a preliminary review, the respondents are identified by initial only. I know two of them, I've looked at our attendee list, two of them are currently present. I'm not sure about CS, but just as a reminder that when I look at these that have come through, it's determined that while we have jurisdiction in the matters, the information received to date would indicate either the complaint is without merit, it may not rise to the level of opening a formal case, and or potential violations of our statutes and rules could not be identified. So if the board determines that continued investigation is warranted, a vote to open a formal case is requested. So the first one, 9C, is physical therapist CS. He was arrested for disorderly conduct, domestic violence in January of 2023. He pled guilty to the charge in March of 2023, but did not report the charge to our board within the 10-day regulatory requirement. He's provided a written statement and supporting documents for your consideration. He is in the process of paying his court-ordered fines and attending anger management classes. He states that he has attended counseling for 3 months on his own as well. And finally, he states that once he has met the court requirements, he expects the charges to be dismissed. CS, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Morning.
Morning.
Thanks, so this Denise. Case is for your review.
Okay. I just have a quick question for CS.
Sure.
Was there a particular reason that you didn't report, follow the reporting guidelines and requirements to the board for any criminal issues?
Well, no, there isn't any specific reason. I guess I wasn't entirely sure because with what I was charged with, they gave me for a noise complaint for disorderly conduct, hence it was a DV because it was between my wife and I. And I guess I was totally unsure if that was even something required by the board, and that could be totally my fault for doing that. However, I also was notified that the court notifies the board immediately, especially if, like, fingerprints are taken, too. So I didn't know if that was going to be enough to report to the board, like, based on what's going on. And I didn't really know where my charges were going to go. I don't know if this was going to be dismissed or require the that diversion agreement that has been agreed upon in the end of my court case.
Okay, thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for CS or discussion?
This is Mr. Greer. I tend to agree with CS. I don't see this as a misdemeanor involving conduct that may affect patient safety. A charge that what he was charged with, and so I would move that we take no action on this case.
Second.
Great. Any discussion? I just have a quick question regarding reporting. So if it's a misdemeanor, we don't need to report it. If it's What are the guidelines?
The statute, you know, and Mark can answer this better, but the statute, and I'm just telling you because I pulled it up, mm-hmm. The health professional who's been charged with a misdemeanor involving conduct that may affect patient safety or a felony. So if it's misdemeanor, we're just looking at whether it will affect patient safety. And in this case, I tend to agree with him that he was charged with disorderly conduct, which I don't think is a misdemeanor involving conduct that may affect patient safety. You know, I think you could get there if you wanted to in this case.
Yeah.
But under the facts of this case, I would say I don't think we get there.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks for reading that. Is there any discussion?
Mark, did I steal your job?
I just want to add, too, that I use the lists of misdemeanor reportable under ARS 323208. If when I get the charging documents, that violation is on the list, I will bring it forward. If it's not on the list, if it's a different citation, I'll refer to Mr. Harris and see if it's something that I should bring forward if we have jurisdiction. Just for clarification, that's how these are coming to you.
So if what I'm hearing you say is that the disorderly conduct is on the list.
It is on the list.
I gotcha.
Yeah, 132904A2 is on the list. Sometimes I don't get on the citations, I don't get an actual number. It just depends on how the law enforcement completes the documentation.
And Mr. Greer, I totally agree with you and Karen on the second. My only comment is just I want to make sure that we're consistent with expecting reporting. If it's on the list, it should be reported, even if it's a misdemeanor. Disorderly conduct, and then we can decide as a board whether or not it rises to the level of patient safety. But he didn't report it to us. So that's the only thing I have hanging up on is I just don't want to be inconsistent in how we've handled non-reporting of legal issues or police-involved issues for our licensees.
So you would be more comfortable with like an advisory letter to?
Yeah, I would be more comfortable with, but in order to do that, we have to open a complaint. So my comfort level would be to open a complaint, and then at some point when he comes again to the board, an advisory letter reminding him of the requirements of reporting.
And the issue I have with that is the licensees don't have a list of things that, you know, they don't have the list that Judy's looking at. You know, they read the statute and say, hey, does this affect patient safety? And I tend to agree with the licensee on this one, that if this client came to me and said, do I need to report this to the board, my legal advice would be probably not. You know, we'd probably report it just to be sure, but, you know, I don't see this. You know, we don't want them to report every traffic ticket to us. And it may be better practice to report everything. And I think the way our renewal statutes, our renewal application reads, is we'd find out about this when he renewed. But I don't think this is one that he has an obligation to notify us within 10 days after the charges are being filed.
Just one point of clarification. There is a list on the board's website of reportable.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought there was. Okay. Because that would be, you're right, Josh, that would be really unfair. But I think that I thought there was a list. If you're not sure.
And it lists disorderly conduct on that list?
Yes.
What doesn't it list?
So we have a motion and a second to take no action. And we've had some good discussion, as we always do. So are there any other comments that anyone would like to make? Or thoughts on direction? All right, then Judy, do you mind calling the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to take no action in this case against CS. Dr. King?
No.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Mindy, we're at D. We're at DHG. Do you want to give us a summary, please?
Sure. This complaint was filed on April 24th of 2023 by HG's previous employer. The complaint states that she completed documentation billing for a patient that she did not treat on April 10th. The employer completed an investigation and subsequently terminated her employment. She did submit a written response, which you have for your review. And in that, she states that she was hired PRN and had only worked three shifts at the time of the incident, and confirmed that it was one patient that was billed in error, and she attributes the error to limited familiarity with a software program. She also submitted two attestations from previous coworkers for the board to consider. I do believe that HG is on the call, and this case is for your review.
Thank you. Good morning, HG. Board members, do you have any questions for HG?
So just to clarify, HG, from what I was reading, it sounds like the issue was you were learning the system that you were documenting in, and the billing for the patient that shouldn't have been charged was just an accidental, just a mistake basically that happened. But can you just give a little bit more insight on like how exactly did that occur?
Oh, you're muted. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What happened was that when I was putting the charges for I had like six patients on that day, and when I was putting the charges, I was not pressing the button for save and close. So because I was not doing that, all whatever charges I was putting were getting deleted. Like there was no charges at all. And then in that error, there was another PT and there were other staff who guided me that you have to do this to save your charges. And I think in that confusion, it was like an honest mistake. I just put that charge on a different patient instead of the patient I was supposed to. And so the rest of the patients were fine. With this patient, I accidentally put the charge, and it was an honest mistake. I mean, I really didn't mean to do that, you know.
Has it been remedied already?
Yes, they had already, in fact, they removed all the charges, all the patient charges for my that day. And they already told me that, in fact, they knew that it was an honest mistake, but they were supposed to report. I mean, and I genuinely I apologize for that, but I definitely didn't mean to put that one patient charge, which I had accidentally put, you know. And it was rehab, like the software, it was NetHealth, which was a new software. I've always worked in an outpatient, the skilled nursing. So this was a completely new software for me. So even the notes, I was trying to put the progress. I was not doing a daily note. In fact, I was doing more work. I was doing the progress report for the patient. So with that confusion, with this one patient, I accidentally put the charge, yes. But it was an honest mistake, yeah.
Thank you.
And I was getting in the workforce after like a long time. I was just, you know, with my daughter for like my 5-year-old daughter for some time. So, I should still not be more cautious, but I made that mistake. Yes. I'm sorry about that. And I'll be very careful going forward.
This is Mr. Greer. I feel like I want to know what happened more here. I don't understand the program to see, you know, if the licensee's explanation makes sense, but I think we need a little bit more here to verify. Have we reviewed, Mindy, have you reviewed the records?
No, they were not requested. I just went from what the employer provided at this point as a preliminary review.
Yeah, and I think we're going to need to see, you know, what's on that chart, because if it's updating the note saying patient wasn't present and there was an accidental charge, that makes a lot of sense. If there are substantive findings, then I think we're dealing with something different, and I just want to verify that. And so I would move to open an investigation in this case.
And they already removed the charge. They have already removed all the charges for that patient.
But I think what, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Greer, you want to perhaps see in the investigation if it reveals that there's more than just an isolated incident.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm comfortable in looking at, but if I'm looking at the the complaint, it's that the licensee documented and billed for care on a patient that was not physically on site. And so I want to see what that documentation is. Because if the documentation says I met with patient JG and did these services, that's a different than if the documentation says I didn't meet with JG and it accidentally attached a bill to that. You know, I just need to know what happened, because I'm not saying I don't believe the licensee. I just don't understand why the employer would make a decision to terminate based on what seems to be a civil mistake. And so I just want to make sure there's nothing more here.
Okay.
Do you need me to identify some, or you understand what allegations? Okay.
Yeah. I will identify those.
I have to win the motion first. Yeah.
I think in terms of this, that last sentence about the decision came after discussion among HR, operations, and compliance teams. In terms of that last sentence, I agree with Josh. I'd like to just see more information and make sure that that's the case.
So is that your second, Dr. Hike?
Yes, I'll second that.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second to open a complaint for further investigation. Are there any other questions or discussion?
I don't know if maybe I just don't, you know, from not having the experience in skilled nursing, I guess that brings up the question. I'm glad Mr. Greer brought this up. Why would there have been a note opened for a patient that treatment wasn't provided for. Is that something that happens in skilled nursing, like that you have to document that the patient didn't want to participate or something like that? I don't know if anybody happens to know how that works. Or if
I don't know how it works in skilled nursing, or in an acute care, you don't necessarily open a note, but in rehab, you have to write a cancel note because you've got to capture that they were scheduled, but they weren't seen. And so right. That might be the case for them that they were on the schedule, but there's documentation that they weren't seen. And that way there's no question about what happened to this patient's care on the schedule that day. Kind of closes the loop. I don't know that that's the case though, but I think it's worth asking.
But to HG, is that kind of how it works and what was going on with that? Did you have to open a note to write that the patient didn't want to participate that day?
No, it was not the patient who didn't want to participate. It was just that I just did a note. I just put a charge for a different patient on that particular patient. Yeah.
So it was two patients that did participate,
No, all my other patients participated. So while I was doing the documentation, I accidentally put a charge for that patient, which I didn't see.
Did you also write, do you recall documenting therapeutic exercise activities, anything that you did with that patient as well?
I don't recall that, but I definitely put the charge, yes.
Okay, so we'll yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll know that once we see the chart then.
And I'd be in agreement with this as well. I think it would be nice to see the chart and kind of get a better picture of what was going on.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to open a complaint. If there's no other discussion, then let's call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint for further investigation in case of HG. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes. Thank you for the discussion.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton? Mr. Barton is absent. That motion passes.
Great, thank you. So, HG, the board staff will get with you as far as next steps go.
Okay, and we will be in touch through email, or how we were going to be in touch?
I will contact you, HG, and we'll walk through the process.
Okay, awesome. Okay, because I will be out of the country for a month from 24 June to end of July. So I just wanted to... keep you posted
Work around that.
Okay, thank you.
I'll be in touch this week.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great. And then, Mindy, do you want to give us a summary of
JB?
JB, please.
Of course.
And I am here.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So JB was arrested for DUI on or about November 5th of 2021 in the state of Washington. At the time of her arrest, her breathalyzer results were 0.202. She was immediately arraigned and charged on 11/6 of 2021 and issued court-ordered requirements. She did not report her arrest or charges within the 10-day regulatory requirement, but she did report it at the time of her 2022-2024 renewal. She was contacted in May and subsequently provided a written statement and supporting documents, which were attached for your review. She appears to have completed all court-ordered requirements, and her probation will end November of this year. And she stated that she is committed to continued self-improvement. She last practiced in Arizona in 2015 and does not plan to return to Arizona in the near future. This case is for your review.
Okay, thank you. I have a question for JB, if you don't mind. Was there a specific reason why you did not report your arrest to the board?
Good morning, Dr. King. I really actually don't have an excuse. It was my error. immediately upon my arraignment, I was required to do twice a day breathalyzers at the sheriff's department. I was trying to maintain my sanity and my job here, and I didn't know I was supposed to. I should have looked at the rules and regs, and I didn't, and it is no one's fault but my own. And like I said, I really have no excuse.
Thank you. Thank you for your accountability about it. Are there any other questions for JB? Well, I make a motion that we actually open a complaint for not reporting, and we'll come back before the board with the potential of sending an advisory letter, but I would like to open the complaint.
And the only potential violation that you would identify would be the failure to report?
Yeah, that's the only one I know of.
Well, just versus the other DUI charge.
Oh, I get what you're saying. No, we'll open a complaint for allegations on your initial, what you presented to us.
Failure to report.
Uh-huh, then we can discuss it.
Okay.
Is that okay?
May I speak?
Need a second, I think.
Yeah, we don't have a second yet.
Second.
Thank you. Yes, would you like to say something to us?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, because I was on the call earlier when you talked about CS, who's also charged with not reporting to the board, but you decided not to open a complaint against him. As far as I can tell, I have the same charge, and my DUI, which is now a reckless, and it was not in the performance of my duties as a PT, and it's not going to affect my duties as a PT. I'm just curious as to why I'm getting disciplinary actions opened and CS didn't.
Well, I certainly can't speak to any of the other cases with you, but when we open a complaint that's not necessarily disciplinary, it gives the board an opportunity to learn more about the allegation and then discuss further and make a determination. And so at this point, there's no disciplinary action taken toward your case at all. It's just opening a complaint for more information from our investigator. You'll come back before the board again, and we'll have an opportunity to look at the documents and review it and then make a determination at that point. And it could go non-disciplinary, and it could also go disciplinary. So it could go either way. Just because a complaint's open doesn't mean that it's disciplinary. So I want to make sure you know that.
Yeah, I guess I'm still just concerned because their CS was dismissed and mine isn't for the same basic charge. I was listening to Mr. Greer, what he was saying about CS. And I understand that I was in the wrong, but it does appear to me that I am being charged with the same thing as CS, whose case was dismissed.
I think your assumption is incorrect there. And the facts of those cases are substantially different.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not having discipline because of my charge. I'm having a disciplinary hearing, maybe, because of my charge. It is because of my negligence in not reporting in 10 days. So does this also have to do with what I was criminally charged with?
The what you were charged with is different than what CS was charged with.
Correct, but I didn't think that's the reason that I'm having a possible complaint against me. I thought the reason was that I didn't report it in 10 days. Which
yeah,
is also with CS.
But the thing that you didn't report is something that we take far more seriously than the thing that CS didn't report.
Okay. I mean, that's okay.
Thank you. And frankly, the
BAC, we don't see twos very often.
I understand that.
This one definitely should have been reported.
And I understand that. And you are correct. I did not report it. However, well, I guess, I'm doing my punishment. I'm doing everything the court says up here in Washington. I thought that Arizona's complaint was just that I didn't report it, which is absolutely correct.
But
it is a misdemeanor. I understand, I guess. Thank you.
And we'll have another chance to talk about this, but this is a misdemeanor that I think does affect patient safety. Because the decision that you made, I think the cases are very distinctly distinguishable. And if you don't, disagree, that's your prerogative, but we're going to want to, I don't know, have we even voted yet?
No, we have a motion and a second and we're in discussion.
I think we're going to want to look at this a little more carefully than the other case.
Mr. Harris, could I request potentially going into executive session for legal advice?
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Second.
Thank you. Judy, do you mind calling?
It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session for legal advice. Dr. King?
Yes. Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Giovanni?
Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hyde?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Barton? Mr. Barton is absent. My apologies. The board will go into executive session. For those of you in attendance, the board will return to this meeting after the executive session is over. Thank you for your patience.
It is 9:17.
Yes. Thank you. It's 9:17 and I'm going to stop the recording.